Good morning, Evanston Avenue, and good morning to our friends tuning in on our live stream.
I'm Keith, and this is Tina. We hope you are blessed by the music portion of our worship service. We are so glad to have you here with us this morning.
There are some good things coming, but before that, we wanted to take a minute to welcome you and let you know how you can get connected.
Whether you've been with us forever, or this is your first time visiting, we want to let you know there's a place for you here at Evanston. So...
No.
No what?
No ridiculousness, no shenanigans.
But...
No.
Okay.
As our ushers come down to take up the morning offering, here's Daniel to tell you how you can get connected.
Here's Daniel.
Hi. I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue. For our adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners and sporting events. But we also have our life groups, which are the best way to get connected. So if you haven't joined a life group yet, you'll want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan, and they'll get you plugged in with one that's right for you. We have a bunch of volunteer opportunities available. There's a full list on the website, so you can look through it and find out which one works best for you. And if you're not sure, then check out our shape test, where you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. So there you go. No matter where you're at, there's a waiting for you to get connected here at Evanston.
Hey everybody, we know that sometimes it can be hard to keep track of all the things going on at the church.
But you're in luck because we have our handy bulletin. The bulletin is the best way to stay in the loop with what's going on at the church.
And it has our convenient connection card. You can use that card to get in touch with us. Just fill it out and leave it on the pew when you're fed out, and one of our ushers will pick it up for you.
And for those of you who are more tech-oriented or watching from home, you can find even more information and a connection form on our website.
The website is the perfect place to find out what's going on at the church and to check out some of our really helpful resources.
You will also find an archive of our past sermons and Sunday school lessons with the slides and downloads and everything.
So make sure you head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
Well, it's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a few more things to share with you.
First, fall's returning, and with that comes the return of Hype and Bible Times Club.
It starts tonight at 6. Be there, be square.
And for the teens, on October 12th and 13th is the paintball retreat. Talk to Joy for more information. Last but not least, October is Staff Appreciation Month. So if you want to do something to show the staff appreciation, make sure you talk to Jonathan.
All right, that should do it for announcements so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, The Gospel of Mark. Isn't it refreshing not having any ridiculousness?
Sometimes, but not all the time.
Sometimes it is fun though. I can see why you enjoy it.
Here's Pastor Matt. You come here. I'll show you shenanigans.
I am now very suddenly worried about anyone else who might come up on the platform. I don't know why. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to pray for our time in the Word together. I think most of our delightful helpers have been around, so if you're a young person, you got your coloring pages, have fun with that. If you're an older person and wanted coloring pages, I'm sorry. That's just the way it works. But let me offer prayer. Before I forget, I do have one additional announcement and request. We have a funeral coming up on Tuesday for Garrett Linville. He passed away somewhat unexpectedly on Wednesday. I know that Steve was saying he needs a couple people to help serve the luncheon on Tuesday. So service is at 11 at the Lee Chapel, and then luncheon here afterwards. Talk to Steve if you would be interested and available to help serve the luncheon. And please be praying, of course, for Patty and her family as they're mourning Garrett's loss. But Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's bless our time in the Word together as well. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day. And Father, again, we recognize that each day is in fact a gift from you. Father, we pray and ask right now that you would receive the offerings that we have given. And Lord, we ask that you receive them in the spirit with which we have given them. Lord, we ask that this gift from us will be used to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we as parents and as a church have the opportunity to pass that word on to our young ones. We thank you for them and the blessing that they are. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will move mightily in this time as we listen to your word together. And Father, we ask that our lives be transformed. May we become more like you today than we are. Father, as the pastor and as the preacher, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground, and I ask that every word that is in line with yours will endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So my friends, I know a lot of our young friends are going to be in their coloring sheets here for a little bit, but for everyone else, I do want to ask this question. How many of you as adults have moved? Okay, that's always a lot of fun, isn't it? Isn't it amazing once you look at your house and go, I can do this. I can box everything up, and then you realize how much stuff we really have, amen? And you find yourself going, I didn't know I had this. But what do we do then? Becky and I had this phenomenon. When we moved here from Chicago, we're boxing things up, and we actually found a box that had moved to Chicago from Iowa that we never opened. And our first thought was, wow, this is convenient. We don't have to pack it. We can just put it right back on the moving van. And then it dawns on us, we've lived in this house for like 7 years. We don't even know what's in the box. And Becky and I were even talking about it this morning, that we can't remember what was in it. And yet our first impulse was, put it on the truck and take it with. And I have to remind myself of this because as a parent, and if you have kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, you're familiar with this thing where you hear the kids say, I want a new toy. Anyone ever heard this? Like you're walking through the store, you're going through McDonald's, and they see whatever the Happy Meal thing is. Like, I need this thing. And as parents, our first reaction is to do what? At least for me, is to say, no, you have enough toys. And then I go look at my piles of stuff. And eventually when you move, you start to realize how much stuff you have. And we all kind of feel it this way just a little bit, amen? And it's amazing to me how many things we accumulate, isn't it? We keep doing it. And this is a real picture, not one of mine, this one here. That was actually a storage unit that somebody had. And that's like such an American thing, isn't it? Like I have so much stuff, it doesn't fit in my house and it doesn't fit in my garage. So I'm going to get a storage unit so I can keep more stuff. Amen? I will not ask for the show of hands on that kind of stuff. I found an interesting statistic about our stuff. There's actually a group. I had to write this name down so I wouldn't forget it. It is the American Apparel and Footwear Association. That is their job, is to monitor the sale of clothing and shoes. Let me tell you, these guys are a riot at parties. I have to believe this. But here's the statistic that caught me off guard. Last year, in 2017, the American Apparel and Footwear Association says that in America, on average, per person, it's not per family, per person, we spend $9,071 on clothing every year. We buy an average of 66 outfits and 7.5 pairs of shoes. I was more intrigued by the half pair of shoes, because we all have that where you find one going, where's the other one? But that is astonishing to me. 66 outfits and 7.5 pair of shoes. I don't even think that counts flip-flops. Because those things, you can just stack them right up. Why is it that we, and I'm the same way, I've got my stuff. For me, if you talk to my wife, my buying addiction usually comes in books. I like books. I like acquiring books. I like reading books. I have about 600 right now. I haven't counted lately. So we all have this propensity to establish things. And I wonder for us as Americans, and when we hear people talk about it, we hear people talk about this thing called retail therapy, and I know it to be true. How many of us, if we're really honest, when we go out and buy stuff, and it goes for the little people too, when we go out and go, hey, I need to get this toy, or when we as adults go, hey, I really need this thing, how often aren't we really saying, I hope that this thing makes me happy? How many times are we going, I want to get this thing, even if it's a good thing, like, you know, for me, another book on ministry or counseling or whatever, I hope I can get this thing and it'll make me happy for a while. How long, honestly, does that happiness last? Days, minutes, seconds? I love it when the kids are going like, I need to get the new video game. Yeah! And they get the video game and they conquer it in like a day. It's like, y'all just paid $70 for this thing and you got one day out of it. And I was like, yeah, it's boring. And we wind up doing this. We wind up piling up our stuff. My friends, can I be real honest with us for just a minute? If we want to put a label on this, what do we as Americans often do with our things? The Bible actually has a word for it. It's called idolatry. And it would be easy to say the kids are good at this because they want more toys and more toys and more toys, but the reality of it is all of us as adults. The difference is we have our own credit cards and therefore fewer tantrums. I mean, let's be honest. If kids had credit cards, we would have houses full of cheap toys, but no tantrums. But a lot of times that's idolatry. And my definition of idolatry is this. Idolatry is anything that we look for to find happiness and fulfillment other than God. Anything that I turn to and say, this will make me happy. This will bring meaning to my life. This will make me feel fulfilled. This will make me feel good. Anything other than Jesus that we look to for happiness, meaning, and fulfillment is an idol. And that includes our stuff. And I know that my desire for stuff has changed, but it hasn't gone away. Because when I was young, I used to think my midlife crisis vehicle was a motorcycle. I recognize they're inherently dangerous and I'm inherently uncoordinated. That's probably not a good choice for me. So now I want a boat. We're still in this mindset where we want some level of happiness and fulfillment from stuff. And I want to invite you, we're going to spend some time in God's Word and we're going to learn about idols. Hi, my dear. Hang on a second. This is so beautiful. Can you give me five? Thank you so much. This is so cool. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm going to put that right here in my notes. I don't want to lose it. Thank you. But we find happiness and fulfillment from stuff. Now, we're going to dig into God's words together, especially us as big people. So I want to invite you to turn to your Bible. We're going to be in this passage. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. Now, if you're doing the math, you realize we ended with Mark chapter 9, and now we're jumping into Mark 10, verse 13. What happened to the first 12 verses? Don't worry. We're coming back to that next week. We'll get there. But I wanted to jump into this section together because there are some familiar sections of Scripture, but Jesus actually has a lot to say about the idolatry that can sneak into our lives in so many different ways. And a lot of times, it's real easy for us to say, idolatry is things. Like what I was just talking about, I have happiness, meaning, and fulfillment from gathering possessions. And it's easy for us to say, that's idolatry. Jesus is actually going to highlight some other forms of idolatry that he wants us to get rid of, that we can kind of put out of our lives. And by the way, none of them are inherently bad. I want to be clear about that, because a lot of times when we talk about idolatry, we start to think about things that are bad in our lives that we need to get rid of. Jesus is going to kind of paint a different picture for us, that there are things in our lives that are idols that in and of themselves are not bad. This one for us as big people might be a little uncomfortable. So if you need to, as always, there's a seatbelt under your pew. And if you reach under there and can't find it, that just means God wants you to live a more exciting life of faith. That's all I'm saying. All right, so we're going to dive in here. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Here it is. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him bless them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as those. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the little child in his arms, put his hand on them, and blessed them. Wow, okay, and now we read this and we go, this is really great. We love this image. I mean, and that's kind of what our whole theme is of today is, you know, God blessing the little children. And so I love that because we see, check this out, we see as parents, part of our job is to bring our kids to faith, to introduce our children to Jesus. Amen to that. Amen. We're all good with that. That's why we have a kids program. That's why we let the kids stay in worship every now and again. Because even for us, even when it gets a little bit distracting or there's really cute interruptions, which are awesome, part of the reason we do this is because we want to make sure that we are a church that says little children are welcome here. We want them to meet Jesus here. But check this out. Did you notice what's missing? It's very subtle, but here it is. Parents were bringing their children to Jesus to have them blessed. Okay, we're good with that. Amen. Bless the children. Amen. Where were the parents? Where was the parent saying, "I need to meet with Jesus too. I need to be blessed by Jesus"? What we see in essence is the parents going, "Go kids, get a blessing from the magic worker." They didn't understand who Jesus was. They just knew that Jesus could perform miracles and he was mighty and he was close with God. They got all that. And we see the parents kind of pushing their kids to Jesus, but they themselves were not stepping up to be with Jesus. And so what I have to say is I want to make a step here that might make some of us very uncomfortable because we see the same thing happening today, do we not? Where we as the American people, we invest and we believe that we need to invest in our children and invest in our children and bless them. And I get all that. I agree with all that. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Amen? Most of the time. No, all the time. We all have our moments where we go, "I have to say it with gritted teeth. They're a blessing." But children are a blessing from the Lord. But I want you to catch this because it's here and we see it in our culture. This will make some of you uncomfortable, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Family can be an idol. Family can be an idol. Because what we see is we see parents saying, "You need to get blessed by God and you need to do all these right things." But they themselves were not saying that they need Jesus in and of themselves. Why did they want the blessing? We don't know from the text. We don't know. What I see for us in our culture is we see the idea of I'm investing in my family. My family is all important. I love my kids. I'm sacrificing for my kids. And that's a wonderful thing until it gets in the way of me connecting with Jesus as a parent. Then my family is an idol. Because then I'm looking for happiness and fulfillment in my children, as wonderful as they are. But then I'm saying they are Jesus instead of him. Family can be an idol. How do I know? Very simple test to find out if I've made an idol out of my family. Calendar. How much time do you spend investing as a family in the things of the Lord together? And I don't mean just showing up at church. Yes, keep doing that. Yes, we will have as great a program as we can possibly run all the time. But aside from showing up here, because guess what? Bringing kids here is kind of like pushing kids to Jesus and going, "Okay, kids, go get blessed. I'll be out here in the parking lot when you're done." I'm asking, do we as families make time for Jesus together? If not, then we have to take a look at the possibility that we've made an... if we're making time as a family to do everything else together, that's great. Where's Jesus? Families can become an idol. So the passage moves on, though, and I realize we're squirming just a little bit, but don't worry. It gets worse. Check out verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." By the way, when people say Jesus never claimed to be God, he did. But Jesus continues, he says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Do the commandments, is what he's saying. Check out verse 20. "Teacher," the man answered, "all of these I have kept since I was a boy." Cool. Now, there's a couple fun things. I want to dive into just this section because there's another idol lurking here. There really is. Are all the things that Jesus mentioned really commandments? Yeah, they really are. They really are. And if we really go through and unpack Jesus' teachings, especially in the book of Matthew, you realize Jesus made it even harder to keep all of those commandments. But that's what it meant to follow Jesus. That's what it meant to follow God in the Old Testament. It meant keeping all the rules and following all the commandments. And look at what his response is. "Teacher," he declared, "I have kept all of these things since I was a boy." First of all, I doubt it. I really doubt it. Second of all, we see that there's an idol lurking here. Here it is. Oh, I'm sorry, go one more. We'll come back to that one. This man made an idol out of his religion. Because look at what he was saying. Look at what he was saying. Look at closely. Verse 20. "Teacher, by God's grace and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I have done well." Do you see that anywhere in the text? No. What he is saying is, "I have done it. I have kept the commandments. I am a godly person." That's what he's saying. He has made an idol out of following the religious structures of his day. And he's telling Jesus, "I did it really, really well. I've kept all these commandments. I can do it." And my friends, we can make an idol out of our religion, out of the structure of our faith. Can I be real honest with you? No one has ever gotten saved by going to church. Amen? Walking through this door and sitting in the seat that you're sitting in does not save anyone. No one goes to heaven because they're here or at any other church. But yet we can make the structure of our faith an idol that we worship. What saves people is to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this man had made an idol out of following the religious rules. And I bet if we could meet this guy and peel back the layers, he would tell us how he went to synagogue all the time, how he observed all the feasts, how he did Passover and Purim and Yom Kippur and all these other things of the Jewish faith. And he would say, "Yes, I have done those things." But did you notice something else that's missing from the list of commandments? Jesus said, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal." Did you notice the one that he didn't ask? Jesus never said, "You know the commandment? Have no other gods before me." Jesus never asked if he did that one. Because look at what he says next. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And that's important that we don't miss that last part. Jesus isn't saying sell everything and give it to the poor and you get to heaven. No. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying to the man, "Come follow me. And go sell everything you need to sell to get there." But look at the guy's response. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, "Who can be saved?" And the answer is nobody. Nobody. There is nothing I can do to put my hand in the air and say that I am worthy of this. I cannot say I am worthy of the kingdom of God. It is impossible for me. It is impossible for you. And if you have any doubt about it, P.S., you're rich. Just by virtue of living in this country, if you have electric lights, running water, heat, and food, by definition, you are richer than 2/3 of the rest of the world. You're rich, and so am I. Thank God it doesn't end there, but Jesus looked at them in verse 27 and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Amen? I have no hope in and of myself to put my hand in the air and say, "Behold, I'm worthy of salvation." I have zero hope for that. All I can hope for and all I can cling to and the only thing I can claim is that Jesus Christ loves me and he takes me in an unworthy state and says, "I choose to save you." Praise God for that. But I want us to catch something else because this one's a little easier to spot. There's an idol lurking here as well. And you saw it. Go back one, please. There it is. Thank you. Money can be an idol. Because as I said, we're not brought into the kingdom of heaven. We're not saved by simply being really generous people and giving all of our money to the poor. That act does not save us. What Jesus is saying is, "Come follow me," to the rich man. But he's also saying, "Get rid of this idol in your life." Because the man's wealth was an obstacle to him being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, family can be an idol. Religion can be an idol. Money can be an idol. And all of those are good things. Our family is a blessing from God. Gathering here to worship is a blessing from God. The money God gives us is a blessing from God. But all of those blessings can be an idol that we worship in God's place. And the message from Jesus Christ is put all of those things away and follow him. That's what matters. All the other stuff is a blessing for us to be a good steward of. But check this out. There is one more idol, and it's very difficult to see, but it's there. And I love it because Peter steps to the plate. Whenever there's a disciple doing something really dumb, it's usually Peter at the forefront going, "Let me try." I love Peter. He's like me. We learn by error, not even trial, just error. Poof, there it is. Okay. Peter said to him, okay, bear in mind, before I get into this, Jesus just said to the rich man, "Give everything away. And it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle," blah, blah, blah. Peter steps to the plate. Here it is. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." Okay. "By now you should have it." What is Peter saying? "I did it. We, myself included, have left everything. So we should be sitting really good here, Jesus. Look at what we gave up." I love Peter. Jesus, okay, verse 20. "I will tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields," translation, everything, "for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them all the persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Now, there are some Christians who will take this and say that when we give, God will give us a reward back. I believe that to be true. It just doesn't necessarily happen now. And I don't get to prescribe it. You know what I mean? "I'm going to give up my house, and God will give me a bigger house." Sorry. That's not in here anywhere. What Jesus is saying is that anything that gets in the way of following him is an idol, and we get rid of it. We give it up. And he promises us that in eternal life, we will get a reward. I don't know what that reward is, because check this out. For me, the reward is being there. I don't know. I can't promise that I'm going to get a big house or anything nice in heaven. I don't know. I'm happy, honestly, to be the janitor in heaven. I really don't care. As long as I'm there and get to hang out with Jesus for all eternity, I'll sit in the back all day. I'm good with that. But what Jesus is saying, check out this last part, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Because, my friends, what Jesus is saying is that money can be an idol, family can be an idol, religion can be an idol. Can I go one more? Ministry can be an idol. And honestly, my friends, this one may be me preaching to me more than anything else, but we can make an idol out of our service to the Lord. Look at what I've done. Look at how great this church is. Any of those things, suddenly I'm making an idol out of ministry, out of service. Look how much I sacrificed, is what Peter is saying. We've given it all up for you. And Jesus said, that's great, you'll get a reward in heaven. But when Jesus tags it with, let the first be last, many who are first will be last and the last will be first, Jesus is saying that you're not looking with an eternal perspective at this. When Jesus comes before us, he says there's an eternal perspective. And actually, at the beginning of it all, Jesus gave us the answer. Jesus gave us the answer to this whole idolatry problem way back in the beginning. Do you want to know what it is? It's really simple. Here it is. Next, please. Have childlike dependence. Because you remember that really cute passage we started with that everybody loves, let the little children come to me? Look at what Jesus was actually saying. I tell you the truth, this is verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The kingdom of God, verse 14 says, belongs to such as these. And we talked about it a little bit last week. What do children have to offer? Nothing. We love you, children, we love you, we honestly do. But as a child, we are completely 100% dependent upon the father, dependent upon the parent. And what Jesus is saying is that we have no accomplishment that we can do that will bring us into the kingdom of heaven. We need to be like a child and say, I am dependent upon the father. I am dependent upon God himself. That, my friends, is when suddenly all the other idols fall to dust by the wayside, and I am able to put my hand in the hand of the Father and say that he is with me and I am with him. He is my God and I am one of his beloved children. I have nothing that I can bring. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough sacrificial service. I don't have enough religion. I don't have enough family. I don't have enough of anything that I can say that I merit eternal life. All I can say is that I'm a broken man and I desperately need a savior and I need to make myself dependent upon him. Then the idols fall to dust and we get to walk into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, we acknowledge, as Martin Luther once said, that the human heart is a factory for idols. Father, I am so capable of creating idols that I find happiness and fulfillment in. Father, that is a sin. We as human beings, we are so good at building idols, even out of the good things that you have blessed us with. So Father, I pray for myself, I pray for us as a church. Father, make us more dependent upon you. Remind us of how desperately we need a Savior and a Lord and a God who loves us so very, very much. Father, break our hearts so that we depend upon you. And Lord, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor has given us a great challenge today. There are things in our lives that can separate us from God. There are things that in our lives that make it difficult to draw near to him. And this morning, as we respond to the word, what I actually would like to do is I'd like to invite all of the kids to come right up front here. At the beginning of our scripture, right up here, right here, guys. and just stand right here. All the kids, come on up. At the beginning of the service, we read about how Jesus blessed the little children. And what I'm wanting to invite you to do is I'm going to have all the kids to stand right here. Come on up. And I want all the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas who belong to these kids to come up as well, because we're going to pray together as a family. And we're going to bless these children. Pastor said that we needed to not just bring the children to Jesus, but bring the entire family to Jesus. And so this morning, I want you to go ahead and come on up and with your family, everybody together, moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas. And while we're doing that, I'm going to invite everybody else, if you feel led to come up and pray for the moms and dads in these families, then please do come up and pray with them. If not, we're going to sing a couple of songs, and you can sing to worship the Lord as we do this prayer together. But if you feel like coming to pray with them, any of these people, any of these families here, please feel free to come on up and pray with them and bless them, because this is what it's all about. We come to God as a family. Amen? So would you all stand with me, please? Everybody in the house, stand with me. And we're going to pray and we'll sing some songs together. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the family that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the children, the gift of our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews. All of these children are so important in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the responsibility that you've given to us, Lord, to shepherd them, to care for them, and to lead them to you. This morning, Lord, we come together as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as friends, and we just want to lift up the families to you. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit will fill each family. We ask, Father, that you will speak into our lives, that you will guide us. We ask, Father, that your presence will be abundant in everything that we do. We ask, Father, that you will speak to the children and to the parents. We ask, Father, that as a family unit, we will put you first before anything else. We ask, Father, that you will strip away the idols, that you will strip away the things that get in the way, that separate us from you. And we ask, Lord, that as a family, you will build us up together to serve you and to love you and to follow you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for everything that you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Please feel free to continue praying if you want. If you want to, you can go back and sit down. You can sing with us. This song, but please feel free. If you want to stay, you may stay.
You
if you want to go back to your seats, you may go back to your seats.
Creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea, you are Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down. Worship you, Lord, we bow down, and we worship you, Lord, Lord of all lords you will be. You are King of creation, you are King of creation, King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You, Lord, we bow down and we worship.
tree. Amen. This song is from Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. However you've come this morning, leave here knowing that the Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Zephaniah 3:17.
The Lord your God is with you, he is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you, he is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you, he is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you, the Lord your God is with you, he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, the Lord your God is with you. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, the Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you.
Amen. Kiddos, you can either have a seat right where you are at, or you can turn and face this way.
Go ahead and have a seat.
Check one. There we are. Hello, guys. I know this is Family Sunday, and we had some discussion about if we should do a baptism on Family Sunday, but part of the reality is, for our young ones, a lot of times, when we do a baptism, which is a key ordinance for us, they're downstairs and they don't get to see it. And so we wanted to make sure to end the service this way. And it's especially cool for us because the person being baptized is the father of some of our young people. Ken Wortham has appeared before the elders and given testimony of his Christian faith. And he would like to signify that faith by being baptized publicly. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what baptism is, we do not believe that baptism is what saves us. This is just water. Very, very cold water. Whew. Wow, I'm awake now. It's better than caffeine. But what we do here, we believe this is a symbol, much like a wedding ring. The internal reality is I'm a married man, whether I wear a ring or not, but when I put this symbol on, the rest of the world can see who I belong to. Baptism is meant to be a public symbol of our faith that the world may see that we belong to Jesus. All right, my friend, I'm going to ask you to take a big breath. Hop on in. Don't worry. Eventually you go numb. Just give it a minute. You'll go numb. All right. Yeah, one of the projects we're working on is a heater for this thing, so it's all good. Let me ask you some questions, good sir. Give your body a chance to switch off nerve endings. Question number one, Ken, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he's sent to redeem the world? Do you love him and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? and to you with repentance and joy, embrace him as the Lord of your life. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Jesus and his redemption, and that the belief of this church faithfully reflects that revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God? Do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which this baptism signifies? And do you promise to do all you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen your love and commitment to Christ by faithfully sharing the life of the church, honoring and submitting to its authority, and do you join with the people of God in doing the work of the Lord everywhere? It is with great pleasure that I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and get dried off, buddy. Go ahead. So he was telling me, yeah, I don't have to go all the way under if I'm doing the baptism. It's like, that's right. My friends, God is good. Amen? We're going to close with one more song of worship. I invite you to stand. Jeremy will close out the service when we are done. But let's celebrate how great and good and awesome our God is. Amen?
If you would stand with us, please. We're going to sing one more song.
Come on up, kiddos. Come on up. You want noisemakers?
You want noisemakers.
Go
they
for
can't,
it.
They can't help themselves.
Go for All it. Right. You even got a tambourine in there. All right. The song says he's got me dancing. I don't know how many of this good Baptists have dance moves, but we're going to try. Amen?
All right.
Woohoo. Here we go.
Okay. Hold on. Let's make sure everybody's got something. All right. Cool.
Come on up. Come on. Come on. All right, we're going to make a joyful noise. All right.
All right, has everybody got their joyful noisemaker? Okay.
We're ready.
All right,
making
be
a
careful.
Joyful noise.
There's a little box on the floor, so try not to step on that, okay? I don't want anybody to get tripped or get hurt. Here we go.
Here we go. You All ready? Right. Oh God, you've been so good to me. You came and found this orphan and you brought me right into your family. Oh God, you've been so good to me. You threw away my past and you never count my sins against me. Shouting, woo! You got me leaping, you got me leaping, and now I'm spinning, hallelujah! Na 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 na, so good to me. Na 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 na, so good to me. Na 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 na, so good to me. Oh God, you've been good. Oh God. Been so good to me, and every day I wake up, I breathe another breath of your mercy. Oh God, oh God, you've been so good to me, and my delight is in you, cause I know that your hand is upon me. Okay, let's see some dance moves. You got me dancing, and now I'm shouting, woo! Got some jumping, you got me leaping, and now I'm spinning, hallelujah! Na, 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 so good to me. Na, 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 so good to me. Na, got me dancing. You got me dancing. And now I'm shouting. Woo! You got me leaping. And now I'm spinning hallelujah. Na, 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 so good to me. 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 So good to me. So good to me. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Good job. Make a joyful noise. Woo-hoo!
Amen.
All right, all right. You guys can return your instruments to the box.
You put all your instruments back in the box. If this doesn't make you smile, I don't know what will. Amen.
All right.
All right, helpers. We're going to say a word of prayer. So that means we got to hold everything still. We're going to put our hands together because then we don't touch anybody,
all right? One thing we're good at is making noise, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for your help. Thank you, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, and everybody else. We're glad that you could be with us this morning, and we just want to say a quick word of prayer, and then you can head on out for the rest of your day. Father,
thank you, Jesus.
You are awesome, and we thank you, Lord, because no one is as awesome as you. We thank you for this amazing service, this amazing word that was spoken, and for the fact that so many of us got to witness baptism and someone's commitment to you. We thank you, Lord, because you have given us so much. And now we ask, Father, as we leave this place, we ask that we will be aware of your presence working in our lives. We ask, Father, that you will help this word to just stick in our heads and let us be thinking about it all week long. I pray, Father, that you will help us to look for opportunities to love others as much as you've loved us. And I pray, Father, that we will leave this place forever changed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a great week.